Let's just get this started, huh, kids?
Everybody wake up!
Time to wake up! Time to start the day! Wake up late with Dougie! He's the only way!
Wake up late! Now everybody! Wake up late! Everybody! Wake up late! Wake up late!
Wake up!
Wake up late with Dougie! Wake up late with Dougie! Wake up late with Dougie!
It's time to wake up!
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, live from Danger Studios. Coral's praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody.
Wake up late,
now everybody. I said one, two, three, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Ah, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a new edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Another edition, I should say new. I'm here. Mike Cintron is here.
I'm back, baby.
He's back, and welcome to the show. It's Monday, July or June 24th. How time flies, right?
That's what they say.
It's already June. Hurricane season. No hurricanes yet in Florida yet, thank God. But, you know, do you live in a house or an apartment?
I have an apartment.
All right, so you don't have to worry too much, right?
Yeah, no. It wasn't, I wasn't bad last time. Only just no electricity.
Right. It's the worst part.
It's the worst part, trying to masturbate when it's so hot out.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to use lube.
No, no.
You got enough sweat.
Got all that sweat.
That's right. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. It is Monday, and had an interesting weekend. Usually we open the show with some discussions on shit we've done, you know, yeah, whatever has happened to you in the last few days or whatever, and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, no. I've been working at Robot Brewing.
Yeah? Were you bartending there? What are you doing?
I'm bartending now certain nights to, nice, you know, get some little extra income, and it's fun. It's fun time behind the bar. I've seen they have a drag queen bingo night there.
Oh, really?
It is. So this girl, Nicole Hallowell, goes on there, and she does...
She's in drag, or is it a guy?
It's a guy. It's a guy that's
in
dressed...
In drag,
yeah,
okay.
He's dressed like a woman, but I call her she, because I had this conversation with myself a couple weeks ago. Mm. Like, why do I address her? And then it dawned on me, she must be called Nicole Hallowell. Like, it's a her. Like, you don't say hi. Sir.
Hallowell?
What? Yeah, Hallowell. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just thinking as a woman, a Hallowell.
Yeah, maybe that's the pun in there.
I'm wondering.
I don't know. If she snuck it by me, I'd be like, man, you're more smart than I even thought.
It's like if a woman wanted to be a guy and she dressed like a guy and she called herself Longshanks.
Longshanks, yes.
Yeah.
It's like Chris Topher or Chris Rowe.
Right.
He was Chris Topher. It took me 4 months to realize it's just Christopher.
Yeah.
Just cut up.
Yeah.
Like, you sneaky rascal.
Yeah, you never know with that guy what the fuck's going on.
But so, like, yeah, she goes on stage and she, like, rips people a new one. She roasts the audience.
Yeah.
She roasted me a little bit. She said, yeah, I look like I should be working in a tree. Like, I haven't heard that one a billion times. But, you know, I laugh. You know,
yeah,
everyone's having a good time.
Sure. Well, it's kind of funny when somebody who's dressed in drag makes fun of you.
Well, yeah. How do you take that offensive? Like, you're looking at this train wreck on stage. You're like, oh.
I may be short, but at least I know who the fuck I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? I mean...
Yeah, I don't take
the whole gay
comedian
thing and everything. Gonna... You know, I mean, all these, whatever.
Yeah, you know, listen, she's making people enjoy
it. So that's what she does. She does it there weekly? Is it a weekly thing?
Bi-weekly.
Oh,
you can't
really
do that weekly.
Bi-weekly?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so well, that's cool, dude. I mean, that's good. That's like a regular gig now. You're working there, working.
Yeah, and then you know, I've had an issue there. I mean, okay, so Sunday was pretty cool last night. As far as we had like three events, and so it kept the whole day going. But you know, it ran into that thing we both had an issue with. Now, so first of all, I don't know if you're aware that there's a bar down the street called the Artful Dodger or the Artful Dodger, whatever.
Right.
I don't even want to say the name, but
yeah.
And it's run by a couple of amateur comics.
Right.
Who just started doing it, and you know, hats off to them. I'm not going to hate on anyone, but
right,
you could literally throw a rock at this place. It's so, you could walk over from Robot.
Well, you could walk. I'm lazy. I don't walk
right
that far. I'll Uber. I'll Uber it.
Yeah, it'd be $2. Not even. And they're doing comedy shows there on a Saturday.
Right.
And they came up to me and like, hey, you know, we just want to know, can we coordinate what dates you have it there so we're not directly competing with each other.
Right.
And it was just the same exact, you know, situation you went to a couple of years ago at Tavolino where you go to that other venue and you're like, what do you mean there's a competition? Like, this is a dive bar. I work at a really nice entertainment venue.
Right.
That's, you know, much more classier than this place. Like, when you're on stage, there's dartboards behind you.
Right. Now, let me ask you. So, is it on the same night you do comedy at the Robot?
They're doing Saturday shows.
So they're doing Saturday shows.
Doing
you guys
every
do
Saturday.
Saturday. Every Saturday they're doing?
And, you know, I went to the owner, I think it was Saturday. I just happened to be there after work because we got off at 1. They closed at 2. And, I mean, I hate saying this, but the owner is not really too impressed because they're packing in like 8 comics before the headliner gets on. And by then people are tired and they're like, you know, they're not into the show anymore.
You're talking about the Artful Dodger.
Right.
They're putting the lipstick on a pig show where you have a headliner and a feature, but then you have 14 guest spots.
14
yeah,
guest spots.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, yeah, I've been dealing with that.
Now, let me ask you, how does the owner of the Robot feel about that?
He's not happy.
He's not happy about it?
And he likes the guys that run it. Like, that's why it's so kind of, like, weird, because we think they're good people.
It's just
like, how come you're not smart enough to see that this is not a right move for you?
Well, comics don't do that. It's not the lowest hanging fruit possible.
Exactly.
Now, sometimes if a comic has a relationship with that, you know, like what happened, and everybody knows with me and Jay Risk. Jay Risk said he knew the person and they wanted to do it. And he said, yeah, I wanted to try to do it on other nights, but the club said they wanted to do it on Wednesday night. And I go, well, here's the thing. Here's the difference. You know, I, as a business person first, if I'm in Boca, and somebody says, hey, I want to do a comedy show here. And I've had people do that. I've had, you know, the place, that Italian restaurant that Fazil took over, mm-hmm. Fazil, whatever.
Yeah.
They asked me to do it. And I said, no. It's a Wednesday night. There's an open mic down the street. And, you know, aside from that, I didn't really want to do another Italian restaurant, right? I have certain guidelines. If I'm going to do a show now, it has to be a stage, a venue, you know.
A nice venue.
Right. I don't want to sit there and try to, you know, dress up like the little rascals when they wanted to take a go-kart and turn it, like, you know, they turn a race car into like a, you know what I mean, make something out of nothing. I'm not into that. I want to have something and build it.
I agree.
So, but they came to me and they said, hey, well, you know, and I said, no, something, it's not something I want to do. So, but the comic has to say, all right, well, this is it. But they did come to you, right? They did talk to you about it.
They came up to me after the fact. They go, hey, you know, we know this is going on, and we don't want to, you know. And I kind of chuckled in their face and went, you know, like, listen, well, who's going, who? And again, I went to the Artful Dodger. I'm not saying I would never go there, but I'm going there at 1 o'clock in the morning for a nightcap, you know.
Right.
I'm going there with you. It's a different venue that's going to attract different people to go there. And the guy, the owner said himself, he's like, we're a high-class dive bar. Like, that's
right.
It's a dive bar in Boca. And it's not a dirty place. It's a very nice place. It's just, it's amateur hour. And so, and the guy loves comedy, but the way they're putting the shows together, it's not.
Now, you're talking about the owner of the Artful Dodger.
I talked to him. He didn't even know who I was.
Right.
So he was just unloading to someone on his frustrations of the night. And I said, oh, funny enough, I'm the guy who books it down the street.
Let me get this straight. So the owner of the venue is sitting there going, man, he's not happy with the way things are going at this place.
He's like, yeah, man, tonight we had this comedy show, and the headliner was really good, man. He was really good. I wish we had more people here, but, you know, oh, my God, these guys that came in, and, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so who put the show together, they pack in all their friends, and some of them are just not funny.
Some of them don't have an idea of what it takes to run a venue. Like, all right, it's almost like if you're going to serve dinner. Like, think of that you and I have a restaurant.
Right.
Right? And our specialty is lobster or prime rib or some fine cuisine, right? And that's the entree.
Yeah.
But before we give you the entree, we're going to give you a fucking hodgepodge of horseshit meals. You know what I mean? Like, oh, these are Pop-Tarts and popcorn.
Yeah.
You know, as your appetizer. And then we're going to give you this mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise with some green peas. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then all this other shit. And oh, now we're gonna give you the prime rib.
Listen,
you're talking. I've had pressure with my shows, South Florida Comedy. Like, why don't you feature me? Why don't you work me? Why don't you? You have to be funny. You have to be professional. Yet there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things you have to be on a show. Either it's an open mic, or it's a pro show.
And that's what it is. They get frustrated that they're in that open mic. They're still in that open mic year one, year two process. They're like, why? How? You know, I want to make money at this. How do I make money? They grab at all these really bad venues that are just not conducive to comedy, and then they throw, oh, come to my open mic. Here's a $50 prize.
Yeah.
So that's, like you said, lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
To get people to come out so you can get paid at the end of the day.
Now, what do you think about this? You know, I'll be honest with you. I watch other comics do it. So I said, you know, I want to do this.
Right.
Like, I put a list of upcoming shows together on social media.
Right.
Like, I won't list the open mics I attend. I'll list shows. So, right. You know, all the professional shows I'm going to be at so that people can go and watch me perform.
Where you're going to get paid at.
Right, where I'm getting paid, and I want people to show up, and I want to be drawing people at.
Right.
And it's great. When somebody impersonates you or copies things of you, it's the highest form of flattery.
Right.
But, you know, I noticed, like, there was a, I used to put a thing on Instagram and on Facebook, Tonight Stage, hashtag Tonight Stage. So wherever I performed in different areas or different states or different rooms, I would put a picture of the stage, and I would put it on Facebook, hey. And all of a sudden, half a dozen comics start doing the same thing.
Right.
All right. That's cool. It's flattering. And then I started doing the upcoming shows, and I see a dozen or so comics listing their upcoming shows, which, you know, at first someone mentioned it to me. I'm like, look, whatever. I don't give a fuck what these people do. They're just trying to, you know, fake it till you make it, or you just, you know, maybe you have friends that want to come see you do an open mic again.
That fake it till you make it bullshit gets me so
yeah.
Irate, especially when they're like they actually get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, we had a show last night at Robot, and I've talked to the owner at Robot, and he's really cool, and we came to the understanding that any comedy show moving forward is basically I'm going to be booking. Like,
right.
If anyone's looking to do their, any headliner that wants to do their, they'll give me an email and I'll
no more. Nobody else is coming in underneath you and undercutting you like it's happened in the past.
It happened last night. And the guy who only graduated in February from the comedy class in the improv.
Right.
Had his friend call Alan acting like, hey, I have this comedian, blah, blah, blah. He tours all over the country.
Really?
And he wants to do a show there, benefit show, this Sunday. And you know what? Looking at it, it was a very sweet thing. Who knows if he's pocketing the money, by the way.
Right.
You know, but we're hoping on the up and up, he raised money for this charity, and everyone seemed to have a good time. It's just the bullshit that he...
Let me ask you a question. So the owner agreed to have a show?
Right. He was like,
Why is that happening, though? Why is that? Like, I'd be going to the owner and going, listen, dude, I'm your comedy guy.
Well, that's what we had that conversation.
All right.
And from here on out, it's understood that's what it is. Because I won't continue to do a show.
That's right. It's me or nobody, dude.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not going to go. Here's the problem with that. Because you're spending all your time and energy doing shows at that venue.
Yes.
Now some other schmuck goes up there, puts some horseshit venue together,
mm-hmm.
and it tarnishes the reputation of comedy at the Robot, right?
Even people at the show still thought I was the one
right.
who put
of
this show
Of course they're
going to
think it's you.
And now it was blatantly... So Casey does Sick Puppies prior, like he has from 5 to 7, and Casey goes on stage and goes, hey, we're going to get out of here. Mike, you had this comedy show tonight, right? You want to come up and tell us about it? And I'm like, no.
Casey Peruski?
Casey Kasperson.
Oh, Kasperson. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought it was Casey. All right. Well, I got you. So, God.
And I hate that. I was always trying to tell Alan, like, and thank God it wasn't a bad show.
Yeah.
It was like me and Alan said it was about a B show.
Right.
So... That's a good thing because I was telling Alan, I put these great shows together. Like, I have Dean Napolitano coming out. Like, I really try to put my efforts into bring out quality comedians that I know are going to kill it. And then you have this amateur coming in that could totally ruin the reputation of Robot bringing quality comedy.
Yeah. Well, so, the only way that you can control that is by what you did, by talking to the owner and going,
right.
No more of this.
Right.
You make a choice. You want to keep bringing in these people, like, shooting for the, you know,
exactly.
throwing shit against the wall, or you want to have me?
He was confused because he just... I guess took over Robot, and when Matt there was another GM there that I would basically talk with events. Well, he left, so now the owner's been taking over those kind of duties.
Right.
And he wasn't exactly aware that I was the comedy guy, so...
Well, you need to do that.
And it's over.
Listen, you don't want people, you know, showing up. Like, you know, I've had the story. I've had people went out to Tabellino's, you know, because when I went from weekly to just doing it periodically every other month and stuff, people went after them thinking I was gone. And I wasn't gone. And, you know, and that's fine. I mean, listen, if I'm gone, you want to try to take it over, great.
Right.
But, you know, it's me. You can't have multiple people. I guess there's other venues around, too, that they're for hire. Which I guess if that's the way it is, you gotta just lease the room out or rent the room or whatever. But you know that's an issue too. So, you know, it's always these I call them sponges. People that don't have an ability to make or create something on their own.
Exactly.
They'll see something else going on and then they'll try to hook their fucking trolley up to that.
They're barnacles.
Yeah, I call them sponges. They're leeches. Yeah. They're fucking. You're right. They're suckerfish. They're fucking barnacles.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mention anybody's name in particularly, but that's the way I have no respect for people like that.
No, I don't know what I mean?
You got to trudge away. Anybody who sits there and busts their ass to creating something, like, you know, before I did Tavolino's, they had a comedy one time. They did one time comedy. That was horrible. And then, you know, now all of a sudden, oh, it's a great place to do comedy. Yes. What are you going to do? Jump on my fucking coattails now to try to run it?
And here's the thing. Last night, because I was working the bar back, you could see the look of guilt on this person. Like, he wasn't doing it innocently thinking, I didn't think this was going to be an issue or anything like that. He knew what he was doing. Like, he could not look me in the face. Certain comics on the bill last night could not look me in the face because they knew.
They felt bad that you would have been upset because they got booked on that show.
They knew what they were doing.
Did you talk to any of them? Did you say, hey, man?
A couple of them would come over to me like, man, I'm really sorry, dude. Like, you know, I love you, man. I didn't know this was going to be like
now, this. Now, people in the audience may know who the fuck this is because whoever had a show there on Sunday.
Well, it was all his friends and family that he brought out. So they're used to subpar comedy. And so you have someone
I got to know who this is.
Someone who does.
You're going to tell me on the show or you're going to wait till after?
I'm going to wait after, man.
All right. You don't want to have more shit.
I already outed Artful Dodger and this other. I've already added three people, and I know I already see some of these people on this chat. They know exactly who I'm talking about.
All right. Well, you know, we all friends here. But look, the bottom line is respect. You know, respect your shit. But you're not gonna get respect. You're not gonna get courtesy and people that know it and character when it comes to most comics.
No.
You're not gonna get that. This isn't like Wall Street. This isn't like, you know, business. These are people that don't fucking have an idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not surprising when shit like that happens. Yeah, at any rate. So, but it's good
that was me. That was my weekend.
Yeah, well, it's good that the manager, the owner of the place said, look, you're the guy now. And that's what you got to do.
Right.
Otherwise, no, fuck it. You know what I mean?
No, and me and Alan, we're really cool. Like, this whole weekend I've been working there, and he's like the kind of owner that once you're off your shift, he gives you free beer.
Yeah.
You know, like, nice. He's a really cool dude.
That's a big guy, right?
That was Matt, who was the guy.
The big guy with the blonde hair? Okay.
He's gone now.
Oh, is he?
So there's another dude, when he's there, he has glasses or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, he's a really great boss, and I do believe he did not know that was exactly
what. Everybody's got to learn a little bit up front. You got to give everybody a little slack in the beginning.
Exactly.
Why not, right? Carlos, what's up, buddy? New comic on the scene.
Carlito.
I had a interesting evening. I was in, you know, I was supposed to be off in June. Because I had such a crazy April, May.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, honey, I'll be home during June. And for the most part, I've been home doing gigs. Last week, I did Florida's Funniest in Miami.
How was it?
It was good. You know, I thought I did all right. And I think a couple people that advanced had stellar sets. I think whoever the third person was didn't have a stellar set. And, you know, like we said, sometimes with those type of contests, you never know. You know, like Mario Mateo, very funny guy out of Miami.
He had a good set,
very funny guy. Matter of fact, I gave him a spot on the Tavolino show with Jim Florentine coming up on July 24th. You know, I just saw him. I thought this guy's funny. I came up, hey, man, you're going to be around? Boom, I want to give you a guest spot because you did so well.
See, I've been trying to do that more on Wednesdays. When someone goes up on a Wednesday that hasn't done a Saturday and they have a really good set, it's like I go up there in front of everybody. I'm like, "Hey, are you available this day?" And they go, "Yeah." You want to do a spot on the comedy show? And everyone's like, "Yeah!" Like it's so like, Caesar's thumbs up. Like the audience got you the gig, and you did so good.
It's the perfect way of reward system.
Oh, it's great.
You just went up and did great, man. I'm gonna respect it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you know, I definitely felt good about that. And And I won't mention names. Somebody had been asking me for the guest spot. And, you know, usually a guest spot on my shows, I leave for people who I want to audition for feature work or headline work.
Yeah.
Or somebody who is actually a real performer, a professional comic that happens to be in town. That's basically what a guest spot usually is. Somebody who's in town, somebody who's around, and you say, you know what? This is a guest, a special guest. That's what a guest spot used to be in comedy. Just a special guest that's here. We're going to give him a little time. You know what I mean? Not just somebody who's trying to work on new shit. You know, not just somebody who says, listen, I want to be. Or, you know, I've always given those spots to people I felt are working hard, deserve an opportunity, right, that earned my respect. Right, and that's who I give the spots out to.
Yeah,
and if I don't need a guest spot. Ed at Tavolino's like, no more. If they suck, because that's what happens. Sometimes you get guest spots; they're horrible. and then Ed's looking at me at the watch. The guy's up there 1 minute. He goes, how much time has he got left? I'm like, he's just got 4 more minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want that shit.
No.
So I was waiting to give the spot either to somebody the way it happened, somebody who just inspired me to give him a spot.
Right.
Number two, or somebody the headliner would perhaps ask me to put up. Like usually that happens sometimes. Hey, my friend's going to be in town. You mind giving him a spot?
Yeah.
Or actually somebody who's going to be in town that day. So those are the three. So the comic asked me, and I said, no, I can't give it to you yet. Let me see what happens. I'll let you know, right? So then the person talks to the headliner and says, he actually, nice enough to ask me, contacts me, says, hey, can I ask Jim Florentine if I could do a spot on your show? I go, you already asked me. Why would you ask?
Why would you go over my head?
Why would you go and ask somebody after you asked me?
Yeah.
And they said, well, because you said if Jim brings... Yes, not for you to fucking develop it and then say, are you not thinking? In this particular, I'm not going to mention this because I liked it. And I told them, I like you. I think you're a funny dude and everything. You know, if this was any other person, I would just say, fuck them. You know, I would tell you off. But I'm going to tell you that this isn't something you do. You don't ever do this. If I was another person that didn't know you and stuff, I would throw you to the fucking...
Right.
To the wind. You don't do that. You're making me look like an asshole.
You know, and when they pull this shit, it's, you look at them like, am I in the Twilight Zone right now?
Right.
Are you being this stupid? Because you can't be this stupid and then be funny on
stage. You
know,
sometimes eagerness.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes eagerness makes you blind.
That's what it is.
To things that are appropriate and, like, you know, you should do. I love it. You know, I'm eager. I'm very aggressive. You know,
got to be aggressive.
Sometimes, politely, I use an expression when I used to work with business and stuff, and I try to get in with the big producers of companies. You know, you got to be politely aggressive. You can't just hit them up one time and never hit them up again. You can't hit them up every day. You have to find that Goldilocks right situation, right?
Yeah.
You got to find that politely aggressive moment where you're not too eager. But you're being pretty consistent. You're being timely and smart, and somebody says, "When is that?" You know, the only way you develop that ability to know how to do that is by doing it. Success, failure,
exactly.
You fuck up enough, and then eventually you find the right chemistry of it.
Yeah.
You find the right formula in order to be able to do that. You
mm-hmm.
know, and I told this person, I go, "Look, man, you know, I like you, but don't ever do that." You know, you basically, when I told you that Jim's going to bring it, that meant. If he just happened to have somebody
out of town
or he was going to be with, not you, because you already know, you already asked me. So why, you know, it's just fucked up.
No,
so,
it's frustrating.
And this is a smart kid. So again, I chalk things up to eagerness sometimes for being stupid.
Right.
And again, if I like somebody, somebody's eager, you respect people. And that goes a long way. If you're a schmuck and an asshole and you fuck up, then you're fucked up. But if you're a nice person and a good guy and good person, good gal, respectful and nice and shit, and you fuck up, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. No big deal. So I ended up going to Greenville, South Carolina. I had a bunch of people come out to the show from old high school friends, which was awesome.
In Greenville, South Carolina?
Yeah.
You went to school in Greenville?
No. They went to Coconut Creek High School here in South Florida, but a lot of people happened to move or transplanted
That's
to
weird.
That part. Yeah.
To Greenville?
Yeah.
Like, out of all the places?
I know, right? It's like, what the fuck? Why do so many people, Coconut Creek alumni, live here in Greenville? Right?
the word is out.
Joe Ney says, politely aggressive, like Bud Fox with Gordon Gekko. Yes, exactly. Thank you. You got to, exactly. This is a great movie. So I had a great time and I featured. Now the Comedy Zone has bumped me to headline,
mm-hmm.
but they reached out cause there was a fallout and they said, would you do it? And I go, you know what? I got nothing that weekend. Why don't I do it? And
right.
It's a good club, fun club. So I do it. I got to work with Jay Bliss, very funny cat, and we had a great time.
That's cool.
Now, here's the thing. The 9-hour, 10-hour drive, people always ask me, oh, my God, I have the best time when I'm in a car for 10 hours.
Yeah.
I get so much shit done. I've got so much. I got a lot of thinking to do. I don't know if I want to. Should I say what I mentioned to you earlier about things I've been.
Yeah. You, I think, mean, yeah, you want to say one of the things you were thinking about up there?
Well, I told you one of the things that the improv.
I would say that.
So I spoke with the ownership management of Improv, South Florida Improvs, and I'm going to be doing corporate type training events there.
That's awesome.
Right. Because my background, financial planning, I've been in corporate life for 30 years. And a comic, so it's a good blend. And I'm writing a book called Being Likeable and the Art of Impressing People kind of thing and using humor. You know, you could have a Harvard degree, but if that person likes me better than you, I'm going to get the deal.
Right.
Right? So I've been able to, now I'm going to be looking at coaching these classes, which is great, right? And I'm putting an outline together. I'm developing a training outline for the 2-hour course.
Right.
So I'm going through this and stuff, and I forget what the fuck my point was.
You were driving and you got this opportunity, so now you're putting it together.
Like, as a comic, you try to write jokes. I write when I'm on the car, like in the car, I write. I think of stuff out loud, right. And you know what I mean? It's like time goes by. I'll be driving, I'll be thinking. Next thing you know, 4 hours goes by.
Yeah.
People can't stand being in the car that long. I don't mind. The phone's not ringing. You know what I mean? I got to answer the door and I got to wait. You know, it is the most peaceful time on earth for me. So, but. Here's the thing. Hit traffic on the way there, hit traffic on the way back. It's unbelievable. But here was the worst part about this weekend. On Saturday night, get back, have two great shows, go back to the hotel around 12 o'clock, right? Time to go to bed. I get up at 5 or 7 in the morning, wow. So I get an early drive home from South Carolina to Florida. I want to get home. I want to miss all that traffic, all these people coming home back to Florida, and I fucking, you know, red. Nothing worse than a red line on your goddamn navigation, right? When you see that that long-ass red line on your navigation system, it's a pain in the ass. So
it's death.
It's death. So I don't want to avoid that. So at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, the fire alarm goes off. Now, I have, aside from my fire alarm beeping here in the house, time to change the battery. I haven't heard a fire alarm, like been in a place with it's loud as fuck.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm awake and I don't know if there was a real fire. I may have burned my ass because I didn't give a fuck about the fire alarm. Fire alarm's going off at 4 a.m. I've been in bed for 2 or 3 hours. I'm like, well, fuck, I'm going to stay in bed. But now it's really loud. Pulling the pillow over my head didn't help. Now I can hear people meandering in the hallways. I'm like, oh, my God, I actually got to get out of bed now.
Yeah.
I got to put on some drawers, right? I got to go outside. So I go outside, and both buildings of the hotel are out in the parking lot.
Well.
And it's like, the fucking fire alarm's going off. I'm like, oh, my God. And of course, Jay Bliss is the other comic. He's in the hotel, too, right? He's sitting there going, what the fuck? We're like, oh, my God. And we're talking about, so the fire truck show up a half hour later. Long story short, it almost takes over an hour for the fire alarms to finally shut off. Like, they didn't even shut off. Like, they were, like, going on and off for a little bit. And I'm still, he went upstairs. He goes, I don't give a shit. I'm still sitting there down, trying to stand up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I thought, maybe I'll just go home now. Why don't I just go home now? And I thought, as I wrap myself around a tree because I'm still half asleep.
Yeah.
So, fuck it. I go back to bed, and God forbid, I went back into my room and I put the pillow over my head and I fell asleep through it. And then I guess it must have shut off. So
did you hear like in your dream?
Oh yeah.
After a while, like in the background while you were dreaming. Like
speaking of that, right? You still hear it, like things that what's that called? Reminisce or not the reminisce? I forgot the fucking word. But here's the thing: on the way home, I stopped at a rest stop, take a piss, and I walked into one of these rest stops. Bathrooms, and I swear to God, the smell of shit was so bad. And you know, when you walk in somewhere, you go, oh, wow, it hits you, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh my God, I gotta hold my breath while I piss. And then, so you're pissing, you're smelling, you know? And you ever have a smell so bad that it's so bad that it kind of like gets stuck in your nostril hairs?
For a while, yeah.
Yeah, like you can't get rid of it. Like I'm in the car for an hour going, I still smell that guy's ass. Whoever took that shit.
That's nature.
Yes.
Because, you know, when we lived in the jungles, you would smell that, and you would know, I don't want to go here because there's, like, another tribe.
Right.
Or, you know, it's someone's territory.
So that's what you do. You shit So that's what some guy probably did. He probably shit. He
claimed his territory.
He claimed his territory in that road stop.
Your nose,
this is my place,
it.
Damn it. Yeah, you're right. So it was an interesting weekend, to say the least. But I didn't advance in Florida's Funniest. I think Chris Topher did. Mateo did.
Chris
and,
Rowe. Now it's Chris Rowe.
It's Chris Rowe, yeah.
It used to be Chris Topher back in the day.
Yeah.
Only OGs know that.
Yeah, Chris Topher. And so that was great. But I'm going to be in the one in at Palm Beach on June 30th. So if you're in West Palm Beach, come out to the Improv and watch me do 4 minutes.
Nice.
I'm not going to put it on my upcoming shows, because that's not what you do. If you want to put a list of your upcoming shows, and you got page. You know what's amazing about that? We were talking a little bit earlier.
I shouldn't
earlier
even show. Say like you should put paid shows on the upcoming shows, but it should be booked.
Book
like,
shows.
No one can just, no random Joe can just come up and sign up and be on the same show you are. You know.
You know what's funny about those lists?
Special. You know.
The one thing that's funny about those lists, like I said, I hold people at their highest level, so I'm like, good for them. You know, that just makes them feel part of the group. They're practicing to get better.
Right.
Whatever. Who the fuck? I don't give a fuck what people do. But the thing that's funny now is you look at these people's upcoming shows are all the same every fucking
every week.
Every week. I'm going back to that open mic. I'm going back to that open mic. I'm going back to that open mic. You know what I mean? So it's almost like if I was doing it, I'd be like, there's no need to do this. It's almost like people know where I'm going to be.
There was a comic who said the same exact thing you said. And I looked at him and said, you did exactly that when you were starting a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like now they just do the book show thing.
Right.
But I remember they would do the open, like, here are my open mics you can catch me at.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, anything to, you're trying to promote yourself. I get it. But yeah. There's just certain things, you know, I'm going to say, I would tell you that it's if you're going to really want the Webster's Dictionary rule of upcoming shows, it should be book shows, not open mics. But it's not a show. That's just not something you're booked on. Like you said, if any schmuck could walk off the street and be on that show, you don't want to list it as one of your shows.
Right. Thank you.
Even like on my website, like I won't put, you know, I only put shows on there that if another, because what am I looking for? Somebody's going to look at my website to check out where I'm at. No, they're not. The only people who really do that is other clubs that are booking you. They'll look at your website and say, how much is this person working? That's why on my website I have upcoming shows and previous shows. Right. So they can go on there and see where I've been and where I'm going. Right? But I'm not going to put on there the fucking, you know, Billy Bob's fucking open mic, you know, at the tackle shop.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not going to impress anybody.
No, that's a place where you work on your new shit, yeah. You know?
Speaking of impressing people, by the way, we all know Andrew Dice Clay.
Is he dead?
No, he's okay. Oh. But he's going to be teaming up with Roseanne Barr. They're going to be touring together.
That's kind of cool.
They were at the Laugh Factory in Vegas a few months ago. She went up. I thought it was pretty cool, a video. You know, Dice is a good dude. He knows what she's been through. And look, I don't give a fuck what you think about Roseanne Barr. Whatever happened with that situation with the lady who looked like the woman from the Planet of the Apes, you know, I'm all about this judging thing, whatever. I don't give a fuck. She's a comedian. She should have had it's very unfair where certain people, depending on what angle of the politics you're spreading, some people get looked at more different. I think Roseanne's funny. I think she should be performing. And if you don't like it, don't go see her.
The point is of that is, you know, ABC knew who they're hiring when they hired Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr didn't just become Roseanne Barr in 2019 or 20, you know, whenever, 18. She was that crass starting out in the clubs. Roseanne, the show Roseanne was known as being this blue collar, out of the
That's
box.
Right.
It tested your morals and where you stood on ethics because it showed both sides of the argument.
It was her perspective. And you know what? That's the perspective. You know, people don't like to hear it. You know, I can write jokes about Trump all day, but oh my God, if you make fun of Elizabeth Warren, you know, like on Twitter, I love ripping people that just always these people that comment, like this Kamala Harris. Oh my God, I love answering her tweets. I just love it. You know, Kamala Harris's people sent me an email on my Facebook after I posted something saying, well, the wall is going to cost this much, so why don't you begin to tell us? I wrote an email back. I go, who the fuck are you to ask me how to run the country when I'm a financial advisor, I'm a comic? If you're trying to get, why don't you worry about the shit you're doing and not worry about me? How the fuck are you going to interrupt my day and send me a fucking email? Why don't I send you a package? You know, why don't I send you something and then watch the FBI and the fucking Secret Service come to my house? Anyway, that's a better.
That's kind of creepy that they found you through Facebook.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that, you know, all of a sudden they sent me an email about the border wall and like, look, man, and you know, I'm putting people in cages and shit. Listen, these people are coming here. They're coming here. Where do you want them to go? Oh, it's horrible. I get it. I get all that shit. But this is what's become. You're going to judge things that have become because you're not doing anything to keep people from coming here? What do you expect? You know what? Here's an idea. Why don't we just give them all townhouses? Right. You know, why don't we just take all the foreclosure lists and say, screw it. All these immigrants, just give them the houses that are foreclosed. We don't want them to be in cages. We don't want... They left supposedly a shithole. They left Honduras. The cages they're in are probably more secure. You know what? Listen, these fucking people that make these comments, they've never been to third world country like Honduras,
no.
Right? Or fucking El Salvador. Because if you go to those countries, you know what's outside their windows? Bars. You know what's outside their neighborhood? Fences with fucking barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you want to really judge things, why don't you go to some of these towns where people like in Honduras and stuff and look at some of these houses, how they got fucking fences around their house, bars. Over their windows.
No, Nicaragua, there's literally the militia walks down the street with AKs.
Yeah.
Like, there's an army that comes through the town just to, like, I guess, keep the peace.
I get the whole thing about separation of family, they're together, but fuck, man. Write legislation so these people don't all come here like that, don't risk their lives and stuff, and all this shit. People complain, oh, they're in cages. Well, they're not in their own country. They're not there anymore, at least. They're here. You know? Oh, they're dying. Yes, they're fucking dying. They've come, you know, things happen. I don't know, it's fucking people. Anyway, back to some more realistic things on the opening part. I don't want to get too political. This was an interesting story. I don't know if you heard about this, Mike, but Cam Newton, the football player, the quarterback for the Charlotte Panthers, right? Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Cam Newton, great quarterback. You know who he is?
No.
You don't know who Cam Newton is?
No.
Anyway, he's on a flight from France, and he's sitting coach. He's a big boy. He offers somebody $1,500 for their seat and the extra leg room seat. Now, this is going to be odd at me asking you this, but let's say you're sitting in a more leg room, right? This would be interesting, actually, if Cam Newton came up to you. Can you imagine? Cam Newton, he's 6'5". 260 pounds.
He's going to pay me $1,500?
Yeah, he comes up to you, Mike Cintron. How tall are you?
5 feet.
You're 5 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there in the extra leg room space.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton comes up and says, hey, man, I'm going to give you $1,500 to switch seats with me, dude.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you're going to take it.
Why not?
I'm going to take it.
It's money.
I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Right? I'm going to take it. This guy didn't take it.
Because people are fucking whack, bro. Like, I'm sorry, like, they're just stupid.
Well, this guy had money, maybe.
Maybe
this guy has leg cramps. He's like, fuck it, it ain't worth it.
Maybe he's like Dan Long, because like Dan Long needs those extra.
He would, yeah. Damn, don't say fuck it. But even me, if I was 6'4", $1,500. Cam Newton was in all likelihood the wealthiest person flying coach from Paris to the United States last week, but he has no one to blame but himself for getting stuck without extra leg room. Yeah, the video shows him offering a man $1,500 to switch seats.
And the guy was like, nope.
Yep. The offer was rejected, and Newton appeared to be in disbelief. What? Raise the number, bitch. Go to $2,000. I wonder if that's what the guy was thinking. Keep going.
Right.
Like, if he asked me $1,500, I would say, do it, give me two, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Right? $2,000.
Got to make another
that's
$500.
That's like when you're at the airport and they say, we're looking for volunteers to miss this flight because we're overbooked. Yeah, I love that. You know, except if I'm in a hurry to get home. Sometimes you're like, fuck, how much? $1,000. Yeah, I'll take it. That just covers my next 6 months of, you know, comedy shows traveling.
I've never been in an airport where they do that. They'll pay you $1,000?
Yeah, Fly United, they do that a lot.
Wow.
United does it a lot.
Taking United.
But he says here that people ask, why would Cam Newton be in a, you know, sitting coach? According to Andy later, the quarterback missed his flight. And the only way he can get back to Charlotte that day was on a coach seat on another flight. Yeah. Because people are like, what is he doing flying coach? It's always bad. Here the hoople heads come out and go, why the fuck's he? What's wrong with him? Everybody trying to figure things out when they can't even figure out themselves.
Maybe he's trying to save a little money.
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to save up for, you know.
Maybe he realizes I can't be a football player for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Maybe he realizes, you know, he's not going to have it. I don't know. whatever.
You gotta save that money. But he's gonna get $1,500.
Yeah.
For a seat.
Why not? He should. By the way, it's that time of day, folks.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That was weird. Audio's fucked up, but what can you do? NASA's Curiosity rover saw something flash on Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And people are freaking out. Did you hear about this?
That's what I like. No, but tell me, baby. Love this.
A light Mars rover's on there, and all of a sudden you see this thing flashing.
Aliens, baby. Yeah. I'm telling you. They real.
Mars is almost certainly not the next place in our solar system where humans will travel. We're still many years from actually seeing mankind roaming the red planet. But with a number of high-powered instruments already hanging out around Mars and on its surface, we have a pretty good idea of what to expect once we get there, do we? New image of captured by NASA's Mars Curiosity rover shows something that at the moment remains unexplained. A bright flash popping up seemingly out of nowhere. And with no identification.
Just one flash?
Or indication.
Or was it flashing?
It was more than one flash.
Oh.
Of what may have caused it. The image, which was snapped on June 16th, has quickly taken the internet by storm.
Oh, I gotta go look at this up.
It's some fucking alien trying to light a joint.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
With a nuclear lighter.
Listen, a lot of things from Mars come back weird, dude. Like, they took pictures what looks like in the background that... It looks like towers, like what would look like a city that was destroyed 100 years ago.
Well, the face, you remember the face on Mars,
and then they changed that up.
Well, what happened was they supposedly took they took more photos of it,
and it's just
and it doesn't look, it doesn't. But the people, you know, ancient astronauts believe that it's because it was done at different angles, so at different times of day where the light would not hit it a certain way.
It won't look like that.
You know, I mean, it's like anything. The picture of the old lady looks like a young lady. People see what they want to see.
Right. But you got to admit, that first picture from Mars with the face, it looks like a Phantom of the Opera face.
Yeah. I didn't know there were opera fans there, but scientists have seen these kinds of flashes and images of Mars before, and generally speaking, they never really amount to much. NASA has chalked it up to reflections from distant rocks or glare caused by the sun, or just maybe a flash from more of that shit we left on Mars. You know, we dropped a lot of shit on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you imagine, like, what is this? Oh, it's ours. We forgot we left this shit here.
Yeah.
And the last fucking Mars rover.
You know, there's another thing real quick on that Mars rover that I guess it was a picture taken somehow that the Mars rover sent back, and it looked like a shadow of a humanoid being was riding it.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy, right?
Like, right. I don't know. Like something was on top of it, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That'd be funny. I don't know. Do you believe in aliens? You do.
I do. I don't think they're like coming here to probe us in the butt, you know?
No.
But I think this...
So you don't believe in the whole, they're like preparing us, like they've been here interfering, fucking with our DNA... And, like, helping us with advancements over the years.
But why would it be in the butt? Like, why is it always about the butt? This is
because
why
it's an opening. It's the biggest opening we have besides our mouth.
That's a good point. I don't know. That kind of, like, gets me. I can't ride with that. But
yeah. You think if they had technology, they should be able to go into your body without going up your ass.
Exactly.
You know, if you were an alien, you'd think, you know, you think aliens go to proctologists and go, really? You got to put your thumb, that big-ass alien finger up my ass right now? You would think as an alien we'd have all this advanced technology where you could just look at me, you know, and tell if I'm bad or not, if I got, you know, anal, like, was that the, if I got colon cancer.
Right. No, it's true. But I do believe that and the galaxy is too big out there, the universe, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
There has to be other life out there. Maybe it's not like intelligent life, but you know,
it could be like a glob of fucking goo just floating around. Exactly. Who knows? You believe in global warming?
I mean, what, have you been outside today?
Well, it's hot. It's fucking summer, though. You know, the real question is it man-made or not? You know, I'm of the belief that you know, that one, a recent scientist just came out. The guy who started the Weather Channel is a great clip on CNN where he busts the guy on CNN going, you guys talk about scientists, 93% of scientists, 93% of scientists who report on global warming are getting grants from the government to prove global warming. Mm. So what do you think they're going to fucking do? Right. So recently, and a scientist said it's all a scam. A really well-respected scientist says he pulled away. I'm sure Hillary Clinton's going to have him killed soon. But Colorado mountains see nearly 20 inches of snow on the first day of summer.
Wow.
So you want to talk about how it's here? Some areas of Colorado celebrated the first day of summer on Friday with nearly 2 feet of snow. Snow markers at the Steamboat Resort show the snow piling up almost 20 inches, much like my penis, of snow throughout the day on Friday to an area which is around 6,900 feet above sea level.
I don't know. I think as humans, we're definitely affecting the planet in a negative way. But, you know,
Listen, here's my point. If you talk about the Earth getting warmer and shit like that, and I mentioned this on the show a couple times, you know that they talk about the ice sheets melting.
Right.
But in Antarctica, at the South Pole, they're building.
It's right.
Well,
rising.
It may be all a fucking game. So everybody's like, oh, it's just this. Let's stop eating straws and plastic. And it turns out that the Earth's about to shift its polar axis.
Right.
And we're going to shift it, which is going to cause the next fucking major flood. And that's the thing. We're going to wobble like an egg, and everybody's going to be fucked. We're all going to be gone, except those rich people that are underground.
It's true. That's what I think. I think the Earth is about to flip again. We're going to find out that Antarctica is actually Atlantis. You're going to see all that shit under there, you know?
You're going to see that actor Moe, whatever his name is going to be over there?
Exactly.
Now, here's a story that basically tells me some people didn't get their shit straight, okay? Graffiti artist hired by City of Detroit was arrested after cops think he's committing vandalism. No, man, the city told me to do it. I don't know if they told you to put a big middle finger. Yeah, it says here that a graffiti artist who was commissioned by the city of Detroit, Michigan, was arrested on Wednesday by police officers who thought he was committing an act of vandalism. Sheffy McFly, obviously not his birth name, 29, was painting a mural on a viaduct of the city's northeast side, a part of a multi-year effort to fight illegal graffiti. When multiple police cars arrived on the site, guess they didn't get the memo. McFly's real name is Tashif Turner. Didn't have his city-issued permit on him, according to the news. McFly said he tried to explain the situation. You know how well cops listen to a guy with a spray can in his hand, spray paint can. And a city official even showed up to vouch for him. But police wouldn't budge. Nicole Kirkwood, a spokesman to the Detroit Police Department, said, "Officers felt McFly wasn't cooperating." Well, he probably wouldn't be. And I wouldn't be if a city government told me to go up there and paint a fucking building and these knuckleheaded cops. I'm a big cop fan. I believe in cops do a lot of fucking great work, and they're not all a bunch of assholes. But here's a situation where somebody didn't get a memo. Right? Like, can you blame the cops? City. The cops think they're following the law here. And this kid thought he was told that he could do it.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. The city should have given him some kind of like paper or you know, like a permit to show, no, dude, like here's the permit that I have.
Right.
I'm being told that the city wants me. Like in Wynwood, we see that all the time.
Right.
You know, the city will hire people to do great graffiti on the side of a wall.
The graffiti artist was ultimately arrested on suspicion of resisting and obstructing an on a warrant.
Man.
Of an old parking ticket.
I love police.
It's an oxymoron doing something for the city and being arrested by the city, McFly told the outlet on Friday. They treat me like a felon, even though I was commissioned by the city to do so, although he did have an unpaid parking ticket. McFly said he was determined
gotcha.
For roughly 20, detained for roughly 24 hours, and before he was released, he said he's scheduled to appear in court on July 3rd for the parking ticket warrant.
Ooh. I got a parking ticket a couple months back, and I totally forgot about it.
Yeah?
And I just got collections, reached out to me.
Yeah, like really, it was a ticket like $20. Now it's $150.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I hate my life.
In the old days, like, you want to get your registration. I've had that happen once where I couldn't register my car because I had, a couple parking tickets I'd never paid.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. You know, cause sometimes if you have a parking, if somebody sees a parking ticket on a car, they just take it off. You never know you got it.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever. I mean, feel bad for this kid.
I think there's multiple fuck ups in the story.
Yeah, I think the person who appointed him, whoever was the one who gave him
the major fuck up.
Yeah, he needs to pay his bail, time missed. They better take care of that kid.
Yeah.
Now this is funny. You ever been scared of birds? You ever have a situation where birds Like I've had those situations.
Big birds.
Big Bird from Sesame Street?
Yes, like Big Bird would freak me out. Yeah. No. I mean like when if you see like a goose, like a big or a swan, like those
right.
are like they're like
they
vicious.
Come up, yeah, they can come up to you and they will, be territorial.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't, you know, from far away they look very beautiful, but when they're close,
they get me. A seagull attacks, kept English couple stranded in their home. Oh, Krenko, how are they? Seagulls could get me.
That guy's a pussy.
An English couple said they were unable to leave their house for nearly a week because seagulls tried to attack them every time they left. Turns out they shouldn't just be wearing those birdseed hats.
Man, I would have bought a bow and arrow and just started. You want to attack me? Okay.
Bow and arrow. You know what you get? You know what you need?
Well, because it's England. They don't have guns there.
Well, get a fucking tennis racket then.
There you go. Get that.
Tennis racket. Birdie. That's what you know.
That's, yeah. Smack it down. Kill it. And then,
oh, my God.
And then you have food.
Here's a moment of me being a puss. I remember I posted, I think after I came, last week when I was at the Buddha, I bombed. You weren't there.
Robot, you mean?
A robot, right. Yeah. I tried new shit. It just didn't work.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where that place.
That's
is
what
there
I'm trying.
For,
and then, of course, Richie Lease goes up and does his A material and crushes for the first few minutes, and then he tries to do some. I'm like, dude. Anyway, I don't give a fuck. But no, it's funny. But you know, but I tried all the new shit, and and it didn't work. God, what was my point? It
happens to the best of us.
What was
maybe.
I just talking about?
Killing seagulls.
Oh,
and then
so
all right.
So I took a photo. It was an interesting night. So I bombed at the robot, and then I get home. I get in my garage. I see two roaches fucking right over the door in the garage.
Oh yeah,
remember that photo?
Yes.
So the other day, one of the roaches, I'm guessing one of them, or already gave birth and he's huge. One of the roaches was in a similar spot in the garage. So and then I went and got the home exterminator kit. You know, the big thing you pump.
Yeah.
You spray your own house with. Yeah. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, I got this guy this time. I didn't want to interrupt. I didn't interrupt him last time. I let him fuck. I wasn't going to
You were that like down that, and out by the robot. You're just
I had a bad day. I don't want this roach to have a bad day. It's because I bombed. So then I went and I squirted this guy, and I kept squirting him, and eventually lost. And as he lost his sticky ability to stick to the roof. He was a palmetto bug, so he started flying. Guess where he flew?
At you.
Right the fuck at me.
Right. They started trying to attack you.
Yeah.
It happened to me once.
Yeah?
Same story. Same story you're saying. I came home one time. I thought it was like a dirt spot on my wall, and I'm like, that's weird, because I smoked a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And I went out to get like Taco Bell, and it was late at night. I see this dark spot, and I get close to it. I'm like, that's not a dark spot. That's a gigantic fucking palmetto bug. So I get the bug spray.
Right.
I get the wrong bug spray. I'm thinking the bug spray is going to be like the one that shoots directly out, and it just like soaks them and they drop.
Right.
This is the spray, the mists.
Yeah.
So it just kind of mists around him for a little bit, and then like exactly what he said, falls down, but now he's like charging at me.
He's got pissed.
So what happened? He charges at you? Did you like swat it away?
Well, it's the thing. He flew, and I still had like the wand with the spray, and as he came at me, I went ah! I panicked and I hit him I with that little fucking thing. I smacked him, and I couldn't find him. I know I hit it because it broke the fucking thing. It broke the sprayer thing, and I'm like, where'd he go? Now I'm thinking he's in my shirt. You know, I'm taking off my shirt in the middle of the garage, and I'm fucking around. Yeah, so
that happened to me too once. I had a roach on my. I was drunk on New Year's Eve when I first moved down here at my parents' house, and a palmetto bug was on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And someone was like, hey, there's a giant bug on your shoulder. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I look over, and it's literally looking at me like, hello. And I'm like,
what's up, Mike?
Oh, my God.
What's going on, buddy? Should I get some stage time with the robot this week?
Like, I'm your conscience.
Roy Pickard, 77, and his wife, Brenda, 71, claim two herring gulls. Who have two chicks living on the roof of their home in Knott End on Sea in Lancashire, chased them when they tried to go somewhere in a nightmare scenario.
The birds.
I've not been able to go out the front door, Roy told the news, published on Friday. If I try to get out the door, the two adult birds right there, I haven't got a chance. I can't make it to my car. Thankfully, we have integrated garage, and I can get into it from the kitchen, open the garage door, and drive out to get our shopping done. Listen, don't be a pussy, dude. I'm telling you, get a fucking tennis racket.
Yeah.
But then you want to hurt the bird. The poor bird just protecting his
He's
little...
attacking you. You got to be like, bro, this is my house first.
But what can a seagull do? You know what I mean? Just wear a fucking hat. You know, maybe don't wear a good hat. Wear like a hat.
They dive on you, though. That can hurt. I can see that. I can see that kind of hurting. Like, if you're driving all zone, you're like getting this bird.
With the talons and shit, you know?
Thinking, huh? Seagulls can be pretty big. They're not like a tiny bird. This isn't like a robin or a hummingbird, you know?
They're local
And they do get aggressive. When I was in Long Island, on Long Island Beach, they would come in flocks, and you leave your food, they would grab it out of your hand sometimes. Like, if you put the food too far away from your face.
Says here, we visited the Pickard's house to assess the situation and had given advice on how he can deal with the gulls. Spokesman said, for now, a solution is in a place which will enable Mr. Pickard to take his wife to her private appointment.
You know, if I was one of their friends, I'd be a dick and just come into their house with a seagull mask.
Scared of birds, are you?
Yeah, I'm coming to get you.
Speaking of idiots on airplanes, airline passenger accidentally opens the emergency exit while searching for the toilet.
Jesus.
You know, this is why you don't trust people, you know, on fucking airplanes and shit, dude. You know? Like, when they ask people in the emergency seats, they just ask them, are you okay? You're like, yeah, okay, I'm all right with it. No, I think they need a bigger test. I think they should, like, make them lift a weight. You know, like, get them off the plane and see if they can actually fucking run a certain, you know what I mean? Like, they got to be tested. I think, you know what I mean? If they don't, then the next person, like me, should get that seat. Airline passenger accidentally opens emergency exit while searching for the toilet. Well, he almost made everybody else go to the toilet in their pants. Flying can be pretty stressful. You get all your bags and whatnot, plus the snacks you grabbed at the airport terminal, a magazine or six, and you're already a little tipsy from the 2 hours at the airport bar. Yeah. Anyway, flying sucks, and a passenger aboard a flight from the UK to Pakistan accidentally made their own trip even more stressful by accidentally triggering the emergency exit door while searching for the airplane toilet. Listen, the toilet's in the back of the fucking plane or the front.
Wait.
It's not on the side.
That guy deserves to, like, someone should lock him up. Like, why are they locking up this dude with graffiti? Like, get that guy.
Yeah, imagine. That would be great if the guy opened the door, he flew out and, like, shut the door.
Right? Like,
we got one less passenger.
God just made the earth a little bit more smarter.
That's
now.
Right.
I'm getting rid of that idiot.
According to CNN, Pakistan International Airlines Flight 702 is supposed to head from Manchester Airport to Islamabad, which is not to be confused with Islamagood, Pakistan on Friday. While the plane was still on the tarmac, an unidentified passenger went to the bathroom hunting and ended up at the emergency exit handle. Well, at least it wasn't in the air. One firm tug later, the door was open and the emergency exit slide, which is designed to roll out for the easy escape in the event of a real emergency, deployed. You know there's going to be a fucking delay now. What's the matter, Habib? You couldn't fucking wait? And that's another thing. I hate when people get on a plane, they got to go to the bathroom right off the bat. Now you got to go to the bathroom? What the fuck you been doing waiting by the gate for the last 2 hours?
Oh, man. I'm so grateful I've never had to, like, really have to shit on the plane.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can shit on that plane.
That's got to be the worst.
It's so fucking small. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then, you know, usually there's going to be someone there waiting for you. Because there's always someone waiting to go into the bathroom. And you open it, and you're basically in this tiny little closet. You just filled it with all that shit like you went through. You know, it's stuck in your nose for hours. But imagine that guy was on the plane with you. It's not going to be stuck in your nose for hours. Yeah, because he's on the plane, and the whole plane smells like that.
Right. Yeah, and it's just horrible. You know, I don't know, dude. He's fucking... I go in there, and I'm a big guy. I don't know anybody who's bigger than me could shit in there. You know, it's bad. Mm. It's hard enough to reach my own ass when
like
I'm on a
toilet.
Like
that one dude who needs the extra leg room, the football player.
Yeah, Cam Newton ain't going to be taking no shit on a plane.
I bet his shits are like the size of me. Like, it looks like a small human.
He's shitting little Mikeys?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, it's all going to be over soon. An asteroid nearly the width of a football field has a small chance of hitting the Earth this year.
Mm-hmm.
The asteroid roughly the width of a football field will pass close enough to Earth this year to warrant the attention of the European Space Agency. Through the space rock's actual threat to the planet is minimal. The asteroid known as 2006 QV89 is one of the 870 objects The ESA, which is the European Space Agency, continues to track all objects for which non-zero impact probability has been detected. The asteroid is ranked fourth on the current risk list, but it's the only object in the top 10 with a chance of impacting Earth this year.
Did you see that, I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year, where it was the first time an interstellar object entered our solar system?
Yeah, that spinning cigar-looking thing?
It was a cigar, yeah, and it came, and they showed the trajectory. It came in, and then through the sun, it trajected back out.
Right.
Through the gravitational pull or whatever.
Yeah, and they thought it was an actual...
they think it might have been a UFO satellite.
It may have been an artificial object. An artificial object. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think it's like a probe.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big one to go on your ass, but it supposedly, yeah, you never know. You never know. We had that one comet a couple years ago that we were worried about. They wanted to see what happened to it, and it went around the sun, and actually the sun fried it. Yeah, it came around, then all of a sudden just debris came out when it came around the orbit.
I mean,
you know, can you imagine just sitting there worried about your future? Do I have enough money for retirement? You know, do I have enough money put away to take my kids to college? This in a fucking meteorite.
You have 48 hours.
The size of Texas is going to land on Florida.
Yeah.
We're done at that point. I don't care.
No.
I'm just going to sit there, honey. Let's take our clothes off and fuck for the next 2 days.
I'm going to smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, smoke a lot of weed. Let's drink some booze.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and do some cocaine and heroin.
Might as well. I'll shoot up some heroin at that point.
Right? I'll do it. I'll shoot up some heroin if I know the fucking asteroid's coming. You know, imagine that it misses.
Right. You're addicted to heroin.
It's post-apocalyptic. Anyway. That's been fun. That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
We had a good time.
We did. Just
was
two
a lot
of us.
Of laughs. Yeah.
Just two of us. We carried a show with just two people.
You know, when you have talent like you and I,
we don't need a third person. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us today. By the way, if you want to follow us on Twitter, follow the show at Wake Up Dougie. We're also on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. You want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, follow me at Dougie Dangerous. We have our main fan page on Facebook where we air these shows, and you can catch them if you don't catch them live on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Facebook. And go to our home site at Podbean, the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show at podbean.com. You got shows dating all the way back, like 2013.
Yeah.
Great shows. You can check them all out. By the way, we also like you to donate to the show. We don't have advertisers at this moment. We don't bother asking people to advertise. And maybe because I burp on the air, they don't want to advertise. But if you want to donate, if you're watching us and you've been watching us and you've been continuously watching us, you can go to our Podbean site and donate.
Be a patron. For a dollar. Like a dollar?
If everybody who watched these videos, we basically have, a few hundred people that watch it a day. If you, every time we have a show, if you guys all donated a dollar, we would have $400 a month, $500 a month.
Yeah.
And all the co-hosts would get at least $50 a month.
You know,
for gas money and shit.
Sirius XM is like $20 a month.
Right. $1 is all we're asking.
Just $1.
Just $1, everybody. Everybody who's watching this show, listen to this show, go to Podbean. Go to Wake Up Late with Dougie Show at podbean.com. Go to the patron. I want to be a patron and donate a dollar a month. You know what? Make it two just to cover, like pay it forward to some other schmuck.
Exactly.
Who isn't doing it, all right? Anyway, guys, by the way, if you are in Sebring, Florida, I'm going to be at the 7 Sebring Race Hotel this week on Wednesday. Me and Andy Forrester are going to be doing some comedy there. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Like I mentioned, I'm going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv this Sunday. July 9th, I'm heading to Seattle. Going to be at the Lime.
Nice.
And I'm doing a whole tour through Seattle and Washington and Oregon. So go to DougieAlmeida.com for all those dates. Going to be gone for 2 weeks. That week, guys. How about you, Mike?
Nothing too big. You can catch me Tuesdays at Dada and Del Rey. I host our comedy open mic. Actually, tomorrow we're going to have Ramon Garcia, our book comedy show. So that's free. You're out in Del Rey. Come check us out. Wednesday, I run the All Arts open mic at Robot. And this Saturday, we got Dean Napolitano. I think
very
he's a great
guy,
friend,
yeah.
Right? He's a good friend of yours. Yeah. We all love him here. Dean Napolitano is going to be there. It's just $8 right now on Eventbrite, so we'll get you tickets. And that's pretty much it. I appreciate it.
There you go, guys. Thanks for checking us out. We may have another show this week. I don't know. Depends on who's available here on the co-host list. But stay tuned for that. If you do want to follow us, go to our fan page and stuff. We'll always let you know what's going on. Again, this is Dougie Almeida. Thanks for joining us today. And we'll be back next time right here at the same spot.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on an magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There being their light hit the ground.